Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Financial Wellness Wednesday with me. I'm Francine Allen Humphrey, and it's my pleasure and my delight to be with you. I really am so excited that you are here today. Looking forward to spending the next 30 minutes with you. I want to welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we thank you so very much. For our longtime listeners, we thank you as well. So welcome. I am a financial services representative, educator, twister this morning, right, and coach. Before we can build wealth, we must first know how to acquire it and how to keep it. Have you ever thought about your own personal net worth? And so many of us don't really do that. We think we're doing okay, we're living our lives, we're working, or we're retired, or we're in school, or whatever we're doing. And that's all we think about. That's our worth. We don't carry it any further. So let's just start right there. What is the sum of your assets versus the sum of your liabilities? Wealth is net worth, and our net worth can only be measured by saving more than we spend. So each week, I'm going to come to you to bring you information on building your financial wealth and inviting other experts to join the conversation. So this morning, I'm going solo because I really want to talk about where we are in this economy. We're still in COVID, of course. Some people are taking their mask off, and that's fine if that's what you choose to do, and if you've been vaccinated and boosted, and that's fine. But we still have to be careful in this day and time. We just don't know what tomorrow may bring. So I just encourage everyone to do what you feel good, what's natural for you, and to just be excited about where we are. I am so grateful for the opportunity to come before you. I'm so thankful for my family and the partnerships that I've built throughout these past years. And I just want to come and share what I've learned with my listening audience. As a financial advisor, we are oftentimes faced with our own challenges. As advisors, we work every day to help our clients. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to make sure that they have better outcomes, especially for their finances. We understand that our industry has an important role to play in closing that racial wealth gap. This is what we think about as advisors, as coaches, as financial educators every single day, how important it is for us to move forward, and especially for the African-American community and the minority communities that are already so far behind. We're 400 years behind, and are we ever going to catch up? We must start to listen and learn and be appreciative of where we are. Absolutely, yes, but we know there's so much more for us to do. We want to take the steps to understand the needs of our communities. We want the individuals that I work with to set goals, to face their challenges in the African-American community and minority community, and by continuing to listen, to learn, and to gain insight for what it is that you need to take the action to move forward with your goals, to help your family, and we're here to help you do that. When we're researching and looking at data, and yesterday I was on a webinar, and they were talking about the state of the economy, the Federal Reserve, where we are, what's going to happen. And, of course, nobody can predict the future, but the experts seem to think that economically we're in a good place. Now, you may not feel that same way. It just depends on where you are and what you're doing and how it's affecting you. Everyone is different. Everyone is going through different situations. So what does that mean for you? Where are you in your financial wellness? It's Financial Wellness Wednesday, so I thank you for being with me today. And I definitely want to dive in and just talk about some of the things that are going on and be able to help you to move forward. When we look at our economy, we have to be real and realistic. holistic and talk about the things that are important to our communities. First, we must start by acknowledging that financial institutions play a historical role in creating and sustaining gaps in wealth by race and ethnicity. According to the Federal Reserve report, there is a 8-to-1 gap in wealth between white and black families, and a 5-to-1 gap in wealth between white and Hispanic families. So when we're looking at this, what can we do? So in order for us to have a chance, we have to leverage the playing field. We have to dive into those unique skills that we have, and we have to get with those individuals who have the expertise to take us to where we want to go. We want to build wealth in our own communities and help close the racial gap. When we're talking about our community, we're talking about a community that spends $1 trillion on goods and services every year. So we're not talking about individuals who don't have money. There is money in the African-American and the minority communities. But why are we not reaching the goals that we have set for ourselves? When we're looking at where we are, we have to be persistent. And knowing that the racial gap is there, we have to talk about it. And it's our long-term approach to help build wealth while redefining how institutions treat us, how they serve us, how really diversification comes into play in our communities. And so as we seek to build businesses and to support other communities and support people of color, we want to help individuals and communities of color advance economically. So how do we do that? We do that by making sure that people of color get those jobs that are open, going back to school, maybe one of the things that we have to do, looking at our resumes, building on the qualifications that we already have, and then taking it to the next step, not just staying where we are, but actually listening to what people are saying about the economy. Because if you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different descriptions of where people are. So we have to really listen and learn from the individuals that we come in contact with. We have to build our communities. We have to make sure that they see us working diligently to make our community better. When we start working in the African-American community, it's a reason why we need to do that, because we need the most help. We are the furthest behind. Black households hold significantly less wealth than white households, and it's just the truth. So we have to talk about it. We're not talking about a black or white thing. We just want people to really fully understand what is going on here. And starting in the black community, because the wealth gap is the greatest. We want to continue to listen. We want to learn, and we want to take those steps to making lasting change and to support our communities. That's what I do every single day. When I'm getting up in the morning, who can I help today? Who can I talk to help my community? Who can I talk to build wealth and to close that gap? What is it that I need to do as a financial educator, as a coach, looking at where we are and fully understanding the challenges that we face? My job is to make sure that I'm doing all that I can do. I'm only one person, right? And I have the ability to meet so many other people through all of these venues that we have. I'm actually streaming on Facebook Live. I'm doing Zooms. I'm doing presentations. I'm coming out into the community because I want to be a part of what is going on, not just in one city, but in all the 7 cities throughout Hampton Roads. But how do I do that? How do I make those connections? By letting people know, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here to work. I'm here to acknowledge that we have a problem. And I understand that equality is the key to understanding where we are. So looking back and fighting the wrongs that have been done, but also moving forward and understanding that this is a challenge for us every single day. When we're looking at the African-American community being so far behind, what is it that we can do? We have to educate. We have to speak about it. We have to call it what it is. We have to urge other financial advisors to think about closing the racial wealth gap. It's not just a black problem, everybody's problem. This is what has been happening for all too many years, and extreme disparities and persistent in ways that have been harmful to Americans' future. What has been happening? I know that we have to get energized and we have to open our mouths and we have to speak truth. We have to be authentic, but we also have to listen to what the needs are. And when I'm going out into the community and I'm talking to different organizations, some still don't know what we do here. They still don't fully understand why it's a problem, because it has never been a disadvantage for them. It's only been a disadvantage for us. So we need to talk about that. And if you have the ability to make some changes in the lives of others, then you have to do that. By working to close the racial wealth gap, we're creating economic prosperity. We're creating more jobs. I work every day looking at individuals' resumes. I help them to revamp them. I don't do it for them. We work together. We sit down and we do it together because it's their resume. They need to know what's in it. I'm not going to do the resume for you, but I'm going to sit with you and go over it with you and take things out and move things around and put them in the right perspective. I'm going to help you with your cover letter so that you'll be able to fully put your applications in and have everything that you need for that position that you're applying for. When we're looking at the prosperity, when we're talking about more jobs and the economy, we see that so many people have just dropped off of the radar. They're not even applying for jobs anymore. And when we're talking about young people, they're changing jobs every 3 to 4 weeks. Why? Because they have tools to fight with right now. They're saying, I'm not going to work for $10 an hour. I want to work for $15 an hour, $20 an hour, $25 an hour. And why? Because they're thinking about the right now. So what we have to get them to do, and I fully understand where they are economically because they have to pay their bills just like we do, but they have to think about the future as well. When you're looking at your career and the path that you've chosen, you have to know that you want to make it better for those coming behind you, but you also want to make it best for yourself right now. So when you're changing jobs every 4 weeks, what is that going to look like on your resume? So you have to take that into consideration. And, of course, we want you to always do better. We want you to always be moving forward. But we also want you to think about your future. And is it the best thing for you right now? Is it going to make it better for the economy as a whole? The racial wealth gap must be closed. And in order for us to do that, we have to level it out. There has to be leverage. We have to move up from the place where we are, from being so far behind. It takes a significant toll on our economy when we're not dealing with these problems that we're facing every single day. The racial wealth gap is something that we must talk about. As a whole, there's a lot of money being spent all through every nation, every country. Lots of dollars are being spent. But here in the United States, we have to look at the household and how significant it is that less wealth than another group of individuals that has lasted several decades, the gap continues to grow. We're not being fooled by it. We know they're saying that the economy is in great shape. But for who? Who is it in great shape for? While there are some improvements in the past 10 years with the wealth gap shrinking from 10% to 8-1, the net wealth of the average black family today needs to be done and improved on. It needs to be looked at. When I say done, it needs to be revamped, revisited. It needs to be talked about. Okay, 10-1 versus 8-1. Okay, that means things are happening. But the overall conclusion is that more work needs to be done to narrow the gap. In fact, when we're looking at where we are, no progress has been made in reducing income and wealth inequalities between black and white households over the past 70 years. Now, doesn't that get you to thinking? We're so far behind, how are we ever going to catch up? But there's still hope. And so that's what I came to tell you today. In this financial wellness segment, there is still hope. It may not happen for me. I'm doing the best that I can at this particular time, but I want to make it better for the generations and the generations to come. When we're looking at where we are, it may come as no surprise that we found African Americans who have some wealth are still at a disadvantage compared to the rest of the population. Nearly twice as many black affluent individuals and Hispanic individuals in the survey that was taken by the Federal Reserve stated that they have been treated differently by financial services industries due to their race, and nearly four times as many compared to Asians and white individuals. This is not what I'm speaking about. This is what the Federal Reserve has been talking about. Despite these barriers, we find that African Americans are more likely than non-African Americans to have a better understanding of where they are. So they're really working to have a clear, defined goal set in place. When we're looking at African Americans who are building wealth, they have a strong financial plan, and they are making good decisions. When we're talking about people who are moving up and closing that gap, they believe they are better at managing their finances than their parents. What was I just talking about? I'm doing the best that I can, but I want the next generation to do better. How do I do that? By educating them, by teaching them what I know and what I have learned over the years. And African Americans and other minorities who are moving up and closing that racial gap are more comfortable discussing money matters freely with their friends and their families. So as we listen, as we learn, as we collaborate together. The women in finance are doing a great job because I have some great women that I work with who are working diligently to close that gap. We want to move forward, and we want to make sure that individuals have the same chance who never had it before have it now. We want all families to have financial security with success, and are focusing on leaving a legacy and helping the next generation. Women of wealth want to make sure that we are educating those who are coming behind us, telling them about what we've gone through, making headway, again, keeping our interests focused on the goals that we have set for our families, because everybody's goal is different. Everybody doesn't have the same plan. But if you're working diligently and you're trying to close that gap and you're looking at products that can help you, you have to fully understand the value of what you have, the value of owning a home, the value of having a savings account, the value of having emergency funds, the value of living within your means. So if you're not there yet, there's still hope. You can work with a financial advisor. You can work with a financial planner. You can get one-on-one coaching. You can join organizations that are helping women and families, and not just women and families, but men also, to build better futures. And how do we do that? We have to get educated. We have to listen. We have to learn. We have to not be afraid to talk about I'm in a situation now where I don't fully understand how I'm going to move forward, but that's okay because there's so much out there for you to learn about and for you to know about. All you have to do is be willing to do that. You have to pursue your goals, your own goals, and your own dreams, and your own hopes, and your own aspirations. While everyone has a unique definition of what their financial picture looks like, we want you to have financial security. It's often defined as having peace of mind. If you know that you have that little next ed tucked away, you have some peace of mind. If you have that emergency fund, you have some peace of mind. If you're not just living paycheck to paycheck, but you have some left over to cover some of the things, not just what you need, but some of the things that you want. And this takes time. When we're looking at our income, it's not just enough to go to work and pay our bills. It has to be more than that. It has to be something that gets you going in the morning, something that you want to do. You want to pursue your goals and your dreams. When we're looking at individuals who consider themselves successful, they are individuals who are doing these things. They're saving. They're planning. They're buying homes. They're going on vacations. You may not be there yet, but again, this is Financial Wellness Wednesday. You can get there. You just have to have some plans in place. While individuals who have come to terms with where they are and they want to make a difference, they're doing something about it. Is it easy? No. Are we still fighting certain things and there are certain challenges that we must still go through? Yes. We're still in the pandemic. And despite the pandemic, we survived. The African-American communities and the minority communities, we figured out a way to get it done. We figured out a way to help move that needle. We tapped into our God-given gifts. We started businesses during the pandemic, and we are still here and we're surviving. Yes, a lot of businesses closed. Well, some of them will never open again. But we have moved forward. We have made a way out of no way, and we just keep on going. We have set the goals and set the bar, and we're moving the needle. We're trying to leverage it out. It's going to take time, yes, but it can be done. The goals of those who are succeeding are influenced strongly by their beliefs, what they see as a future for their family, and not just for today, but, again, for generations to come. Achieving success brings a responsibility to help others in their family and within their community. And I can just share something with you. That is exactly why I started my financial services career. First, because I wanted to help my family. I didn't want us to have to go through another incident where we couldn't take care of our loved ones if they became sick or if they passed away. Too many people depend on somebody else to do what it is their responsibility to do. It's your family, and you should be taking care of them. I hear people say all the time, I'm not leaving anything for my family. Nobody left anything for me. That's a selfish way to be. I'm not saying leave them everything. I'm saying make sure that there's something that you can leave them. It may not be money, but it may be a small business that they can carry on when you're gone. It may be the knowledge that you have gained that you're passing on, that they can pass on to the next generation. Think about where you are, and do you feel that sense of responsibility to your community? Because if you don't, then that gap that we're talking about, those disparities are still going to be there. And the next generation is not going to have the opportunity to level it out because you didn't take the responsibility on yourself to help. I know we can't change everybody. I don't have a cape. I'm not trying to be a superhero. But what I am trying to do is to make sure that my family and my community is better than the way that I found it. That's just me, and this is not for everybody. But when you're pursuing your goals and your dreams, if you help somebody else, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to find that your blessings are going to come even when you're not expecting them. Even if you're doing things that you don't even think are important. But if you're reaching out and you're helping and you're making a difference, then you're going to be what your family's going to talk about. You're going to be the one that your family's going to talk about when they say, I learned this from my mom, my sister, my auntie, my dad, my uncle. I learned how to save because that's what happened to me. I learned how to save from my grandfather. He could keep money until it turned yellow. He believed in having cash. And so where we are right now, we all need to be thinking about that too, because if the world system ever shuts down and you don't have any cash on hand, you're going to be in trouble. It's okay to use apps. I'm not saying not to do that. It's okay to have your money somewhere else where you may not be able to reach it right now, but you know that it's there. They've been taking care of you all along, and I'm not talking about anything in particular, but just know you should have emergency funds on hand in case anything happens, and you can't get to your cash app. You can't get to the bank. What are you going to do? But you're probably saying, my money is insured. Okay, it may be, but you need to know for sure because it may not be, depending on where you have your funds. Positivity, despite what we see, is why I'm here today. No matter what someone's level of financial education, no matter what their level of financial success, it does not protect us from disparities or discrimination. It does not protect us from being uneducated. So what do? We look at where we are. We level the playing field. We educate ourselves. We find out what it is that we need to do. And when I'm talking about our families and our friends and the women who are in finance, who are fighting every day to make sure that the disadvantages are fewer and fewer and fewer. When we're looking at data, and there's a lot of research that's out there, make sure that you fully understand what it is that you need to do for your family. And if you're not sure, you need to ask somebody. There are still barriers that are there, but what do we do about that? Because in spite of it all, we have to keep going. As a financial educator, teacher, and a counselor and a coach, I have to come and to let you know that in spite of all that you see, there is still hope. So what is it that we have to do? We have to fully understand who we are and fully understand that the barriers will be there. And keeping that in mind, it may not be surprising that most individuals believe that at best, the racial wealth gap will be the same in 2030 as it is today. However, despite those barriers, we have to have somewhat of a positive outlook towards the financial industry. And more likely than not, we have to prepare ourselves and to educate others and to have a strong financial plan that helps guide us despite what everything that we see. We tend to view our financial situation as gloom and doom. But no, I don't want you to do that. Regardless of what you see and what you hear, I want you to have positivity. I want you to be top of mind with what you're doing for yourself. I want you to have confidence in the levels of education that is out there and available for you. I want you to fully understand that as we build this, we will close that racial gap. As we move forward, we will truly understand who we are and know that there's a plan out there for us. All we have to do is be willing and able to understand that it takes not just one person, but it still takes the village. Nevertheless, positivity is still there. Have that confidence. Move forward. Know what it is that you want to do. Fully understand that you may not be able to change the world, but you, the women who are in finance, can make a difference. We can help our families. We can help other families. We can educate. We can support. And we can build a better financial future. I want to thank you all for being with me today on the program.